Thoughts on Mark, Mark chapter 15 and verse 33. We're still looking at the crucifixion. In fact, we're getting right to the heart of it now. And in this discourse on Mark chapter 15, verse 33, I want to speak on the darkness. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. No words are recorded. The heavy silence, the lowering darkness. Well might the sun refuse to shine, said Watts. Let me read that hymn. Is the hymn, alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Thy body slain, sweet Jesus thine, and bathed in its own blood, while all exposed to wrath divine, the glorious sufferer stood. Was it for crimes that I had done, and he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut its glories in, when God, the mighty Maker, died for man, the creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face, while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. Of course, there's poetic license in that verse. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in, and so on. But it was a miraculous darkness. The sun was darkened. It wasn't obscured by eclipse or clouds or anything like that. Nothing natural. That's not what we're talking about. The sun stopped shining. And it was a miracle. It wasn't an eclipse. It's the Passover. The moon won't allow it for it to be an eclipse. It's a miracle. Amos 8, 9 to 10. Darkness at midday. It's a fact. Now, the authorized version between various Gospels, Mark and Luke, changes from earth to land, the darkness over the land or over the earth. I think it was probably over the land there, but I'm not going to go into all the geographical details. That's not the point. This three-hour period speaks of a darkness which can be felt. It's surely the judgment of God, the sense of desertion of Christ. The blackest darkness, Jude 13. Darkness that might be felt. There's a weight of darkness. The darkness of night coming upon this suffering Savior. The wrath of God upon him. And of course the mystery is that he who was pleasing his Father was here being separated from him. Cursed, made sin, he who knew no sin was being made sin. The displeasure of God, the desertion of God. He, though he was rich, yet became poor for our sakes, brother and sister, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. He was bearing the sin of his people. He was suffering in their place. But it is a mysterious, wondrous thing. And I feel almost afraid to speak on it because I'm not up to it. As Watts said in his hymn, well might I hide my blushing face while his dear face appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. It's easy to speak on that and write about it, but oh, to feel this suffering of Christ, the darkness, the silence, the pain and agony of Christ when he, the mighty God incarnate, was bearing his people's sins. Who can remain unmoved? I want to be moved by it. Trouble is, it's so familiar. We're so acquainted with these things. May God write them in our hearts. May we feel the darkness. May we sense the darkness. May we feel God's displeasure. And praise God that because Christ underwent this for us, brother and sister, we shall never, never know it. O unbeliever, beware of outer darkness and gnashing of teeth. Trust the Saviour, who underwent this darkness and this separation for sinners. Don't rely upon your own merits. Rely upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.